Jaroji explained that in the beginning of the dispensation of the Buddha, the Mahabrahma requested Buddha to give teachings. Buddha had totally eradicated all the defilements by Arahata Magga Jnana, and Buddha attained Sabbanyuta Jnana, omniscient knowledge. After Buddha attained Sabbanyuta Jnana in Buddhagaya, Buddha went to 7 places, spending 1 week in each of these 7 places. Among these 7 places, in one of them, Buddha spent 7 days walking meditation. And in other 6 places, Buddha sat 7 days in each of these places. In the 8th week, Buddha went back to the original place, and Buddha reflected on the situation of beings. Buddha himself had made the determination, Buddha-to-be had made the determination during the time of Dipankara Buddha, that Buddha wanted beings to be freed. Moto Mojeya, meaning that after Buddha had freed himself, he will teach the beings to be freed. Teno Dareya, meaning after Buddha had crossed the ocean of samsara, the realm of existences, in order to reach the shore, Buddha will teach the beings to reach the shore after he himself has crossed. Buddha to be attained this prophecy from the Dipankara Buddha to become enlightened, and Buddha to be gave up things that he cherished most, and Buddha to be perfected paramis, perfections. In Buddhagaya, Buddha to be practiced Satipatthana meditation, and within a while, Buddha attained enlightenment. So within the 49 days, within the 7 weeks, Buddha spent 1 week in each of these places. In the 8th week, Buddha reflected on the condition of beings. The Dhamma is very profound and thus difficult to be discerned. The situation of the beings is that the beings had great lobha, dosa, moha. The beings were abundant in these defilements, greed, anger, delusion. So they were not in the situation of receiving the Dhamma. So for a few seconds, Buddha had in mind not to teach. It is not because he did not want to teach, but it was because the beings had great layers, thick layers of defilements. When Buddha to be perfected the paramis, he perfected the paramis very actively, but when seeing the beings in thick layers of defilements, Buddha lost the activeness in order to teach for just a few seconds. Knowing the thought of the Buddha, the Mahabrahma came to the Buddha to request the Buddha to teach. He requested that there are those beings who had less defilements, who had this foundation to gain knowledge, and the Mahabrahma requested the Buddha to teach. During these days, people had belief in Jiva Atta, individual soul, and Brahma Atta, the supreme soul. They believed that the Brahma Atta, supreme soul, created the world. All the animate and inanimate things were believed to be created by Brahma Atta, supreme soul. So the people had this deep-seated view that the Brahma Atta created the whole world. How the Buddha reflected was that even the Buddha, who was very bright, discerned the Paticca-samuppada, the dependent origination, in difficulty. It was not easy for even the Buddha to discern these profound Paticca-samuppada dependent origination. How can the ordinary beings be able to discern them? The Dhamma is very profound that it is very difficult to be discerned. Reflecting thus, Buddha had in mind not to teach just for a few seconds. Knowing this, Mahabrahma came to request the Buddha to teach. Buddha attained Bodhi Nivasa Nosati, knowing the previous assistances in the first watch of the night. When attaining Bodhi Nivasa Nosati knowledge, the earth did not shake. And at the second watch of the night, Buddha attained Devajaku, the divine eye, discerning every minute things in detail that has been reflected. And also the earth did not shake. When reflecting the cause and effect relationship, after discerning, after attaining the four stages of Magga-jnana and Phala-jnana, path and fruition knowledge, by the practice of Satipatthana, when reflecting the cause and effect relationship, the earth shook. The earth trembled. Even the Buddha, who was very bright, discerned the Paticca-samuppada in difficulty. So how could the ordinary beings can discern the Dhamma? So reflecting that the Dhamma is very profound, Buddha had in mind for a few seconds not to teach. It was not in the way of not meeting the goal that Buddha had, but just for a few seconds, Buddha had in mind not to teach, seeing the situation of the beings. And the Mahabrahma requested the Buddha to teach. Buddha's mind was inclined not to teach just for a very short moment. Buddha reflected that the Dhamma is very profound, And the personality of the beings were very rough, so that Buddha had this inclination not to teach. Buddha had foreseen that when the Mahabrahma know that Buddha had this inclination not to teach, the Mahabrahma would come and request the Buddha to teach. During these days, most of the people had strong view of jiva atta, individual soul, and they were taking refuge in the Mahabrahma. They believed that the Mahabrahma knew everything that should be known. There is one and only Mahabrahma, and the Mahabrahma had neither happiness or sadness. The beings thought very highly of the Mahabrahma, and they believed that the Mahabrahma had this absorption and was very powerful, and they took this Mahabrahma as the refuge to give respect. When the Mahabrahma knew that Buddha had this inclination not to teach, the Mahabrahma came to the Buddha to request to teach. Seeing the Mahabrahma making requests to the Buddha to teach, the people came to have faith and confidence that the Dhamma is something very profound, that even the Mahabrahma, to whom they took refuge on, had to request, kneel down and request the Buddha. So these people came to have interest in the Dhamma, wanting to listen to the Dhamma. This Mahabrahma was not just ordinary. In the earlier Buddha's time, Mahabrahma to be was ordained as a monk practicing jhana, and he attained the first jhana as the highest in his practice and was reborn in the first jhana plane. And he lived in this first jhana plane for quite a long lifespan. This Mahabrahma to be knew about the teachings of the Buddha during the earlier Buddha's times, and he was a disciple during the Kassapa Buddha, and he seemed to have practiced during the Kassapa Buddha's time. And he did not want to be living in the sensual pleasure in the human and deva world, and he practiced jhana, and he became the Mahabrahma, having a very long lifespan. Mahabrahma to be was not an ordinary human, but he was the kind of prominent person who governs. And also in the deva world, he was a prominent deva, the Sakka, the king of the deva. And being reborn in the Brahma realm, he was not ordinary. He was called the Mahabrahma, the great Brahma. His body was big, and also he had this great powers. And he was shining with the virtue of the Dhamma. And Saraji explains about Deva Dhamma. Deva Dhamma are the Hiri and Otapa, moral shame and moral fear that makes the being shine. Hiri is the moral shame, being shameful of the misconduct in body, speech, and mind. Otapa is the moral fear, having fear of the misconduct by body, speech, and mind, as well as the bad consequences of this misconduct. Having Hiri and Otapa, the person will be shameful to commit wrong action by body, shameful to commit wrong speech, shameful to think wrongful thoughts. And the person also is shameful of these bad consequences of this bad conduct. Having moral fear, the person is afraid to commit wrong action by body, wrong speech, and wrongful thoughts, as well as the bad consequences of this misconduct. Hiri is compared to the disgust. If there is an iron ball dirty with feces, one will be disgusted with the iron ball, and one will be disgusted to touch the iron ball dirty with feces. It is compared to Hiri, moral shame. If there is an iron ball that is red hot, one will be afraid to touch it, being afraid that it will burn. Being afraid of the iron ball that is red hot is compared to Otapa, moral fear. Hiri and Otapa, moral shame and moral fear, is very important. If one refrains from wrongdoings, with Hiri and Otapa, the person can become a prominent person. If the person refrains much with Hiri and Otapa, the person will become a very prominent person. If the person refrains from wrongdoings with Hiri and Otapa, wanting to be reborn as a deva, then the person will be reborn as a prominent deva. But if the person refrains from wrongdoings and not want to be in the sensual pleasure, wanting to be reborn as a Mahabrahma, wanting to be reborn as a Brahma, the person practices Logia Dana, the mundane absorption, and will be reborn in the Brahma realm, having a long lifespan. So if the person has shame and fear in the existences, if the person wants to be free from the suffering of existences, one refrains from wrongdoings by body, speech, and mind based on Hiri and Otapa, moral shame and moral fear, and practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can become purified. When a person is endowed with Hiri and Otapa, moral shame and moral fear, the person's body, speech, and mind will be pure. Hiri and Otapa is called Sukha Dhamma, as it purifies the body, speech, and mind. As much one has Hiri and Otapa, the more the person will be pure in body, speech, and mind. Hiri and Otapa is compared to the white color. The white color repels heat. Having Hiri and Otapa, it repels unwholesomeness, and the person's life will shine. If the person has a little bit of hiri and otapa, the person will be a bit pure and white. As the person has much of hiri and otapa, the person will become more pure and white, and the person will be more peaceful. The black color looks dim and gloomy, where the white color shines. Hiri and otapa, moral shame and moral fear, are also called lokapala, as they are guardian of the world, so that the world will not be destroyed. Having hiri and otapa, the person will be able to refrain from wrongful conduct, and the person's own world will not be ruined by pollution. His or her own world will be peaceful. And as the person does not harm the surrounding world will also be peaceful. In this way, hiri and otapa makes the world more pure and peaceful. That's why they are called lokapala, the guardian of the world. And they are also called deva dhamma, as having hiri and otapa, the person shine with virtue, and thus hiri and otapa is also called deva dhamma. In the world, if there is hiri and otapa, the world will be very peaceful and pleasant. But a lot of people are committing wrongful things. A lot of people are relishing in misconduct. Just as a pig is not disgusted with feces, just as the moth insect goes into the fire, and thus the world is very frightening. When practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should note the presently arising object with sustained mindfulness so that the mind will be calm and collected on the object every single second. One should be mindful of every arising object. If there is lack of mindfulness, the defilements enter. Having moral shame and moral fear of these arising of defilements due to lack of mindfulness, one will practice diligently, continuously, and such kind of yogi will make progress in the practice within a short time, and the person will attain knowledge. And it is very important to practice with hiri and otapa, moral aim and moral fear. In the word deva dhamma, Saraji explains the word deva. There are three kinds of deva. The first one is samudhi deva, the second is upapatti deva, and the third is Visuddhi Deva. The first one is Samudhi Deva, when the person, based on hiri and otapa, moral shame and moral fear, the practice, and as a person, the person becomes a king or a prince during the olden days. So in the olden days, king, prince are called deva. and queens are called Devi. At least when the person is good, the person will be the head of the state. And having good personality, the person become a head of the state or governor who is in the authority governing. It is Samudhi Deva. When the person refrains from misconduct, shameful of the sensual pleasure, the person is reborn as a Deva. The being reborn as a Deva is called Upapati Deva. The sensual pleasure of the Deva is greater than the sensual pleasure of human. And committing wholesome deeds, the person becomes a Deva of a higher class. These Devas are Upapati Deva. And when the person discuss the sensual pleasure of the Deva, they practice jhana. By practicing the jhana, they attain jhana sukha, the happiness of absorption, which excels many times than the sensual pleasure. As they practice jhana, they attain different stages of jhana, the first jhana, the second jhana, and so on. And by practicing jhana, they also remove the lower jhanic factors, as the lower jhanic factors are near to the sensual pleasure, and thus they remove the lower jhanic factors that later on they attain the higher jhana, having upekha and ekagata, having equanimity and one-pointedness as two of the jhanic factors. And it is the higher jhana, having these two factors as the jhanic factor. So these, by attaining the higher jhana, having these two factors of upekha and ekagata, the person becomes a higher Brahma. And this higher Brahma is also Upapati Deva. When a person sees flaws in the existence of human, Deva, and Brahma, when a person does not want any suffering of any kind of existence, knowing that whatever good it is, it will come to perish at the end, seeing the flaws of suffering, not wanting any of the existences, the person practices Satipatthana meditation. By practicing Satipatthana meditation, can lead to the attainment of Buddhahood. And also by practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can become Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahat. One can become stream enterer, once returner, non-returner, and Arahat, and also Bajjaka Buddha, solitary Buddha. So Buddha and these noble persons, Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, Arahat, Bajjaka Buddha, they are all Visuddhi Deva. They shine with purity. They shine with the virtue of purity. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one can become Visuddhi Deva. So one should know that practicing Satipatthana meditation is following the path of Visuddhi Deva. And one should practice respectfully, meticulously in the Satipatthana practice. The pleasure of Deva is greater than the pleasure of human. But when these Deva are spending their time, wasting their time with fun, without doing wholesome deeds, later on, when they pass away as a Deva, they can be reborn in lower existences. People who discuss the pleasure of Deva pleasure, they practice jhana. Practicing jhana, when they have the ekagata, one-pointedness, which is the jhanic factor, ekagata, one-pointedness, suppresses the heat of kamatanda, sensual pleasure. Having this coolness of ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, continuously, the momentum of this coolness will be great, that such momentum of coolness of this ekagata, one-pointedness of the mind, keep the Brahma to have a long lifespan in the Brahma world. And tomorrow, Saraji will explain more in detail why these Brahma live a longer lifespan. And this will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu.